want to welcome you and so grateful that you're here to join us for this exciting celebration of Easter Sunday. Now, I'm preaching from our North Klein campus. It's hard to believe that 1 year ago on Easter Sunday was opening day for this campus. We moved into this new facility, onto this new campus on Easter Sunday with four morning services, three in English, one in Spanish, and all of our campuses had a glorious Easter Sunday 1 year ago. And we had big plans for this Easter Sunday 2020. For each location, I had multiple services in English and in Spanish, and we're going to do a tremendous marketing experience to let everybody know about all the times and all the opportunities that you could come worship at one of our four campuses. Then, of course, we were surprised by the coronavirus, COVID-19. And as you know, everything has shifted. Everything has changed. When you drive around town, it just feels so much different now, seeing so many different places that usually are thriving, now dark. Parking lots that are usually full, now empty. And we've had to navigate this season together and to really push through in overcoming the adversity. I remember years ago playing golf with Pastor Damon Shook, who was pastor here at Champion Forest for 27 years and went home to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. I remember being able to play golf with him and just asking him so many questions about his journey with God, about marriage and family, his ministry at Champion Forest. And I remember asking, Dr. Shook, how did you last 27 years? How did you stay so focused and so committed and so on mission with God? And I'll never forget how he talked about his one constant was his love relationship with the Lord. And how he anchored his life to that relationship. And as you would navigate different changes in life and ministry and family, that you would stay anchored to the one source who never changed. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ on this Easter Sunday. That the one constant in life that you can anchor your life to is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And I want to invite you to Mark chapter 16 as we celebrate the reality of the empty tomb. And the question I want us to wrestle with is, how does the empty tomb prove God's faithfulness? If we're going to anchor our lives to the faithfulness of God, then how does the empty tomb, the reality of the resurrection, how does that prove God's faithfulness? Well, I want us to look at three exhibits together. And I want you to write these down. It's so good to have the children gathered in our homes. And maybe you have a crayon, or maybe you have a pen or a marker, and you're writing on a piece of paper. Or maybe, parents, you want to jot these three evidences down, these exhibits. I want you to just write these down or maybe type them out. And I want you to embrace these with me as we seek to walk in victory together. Here's exhibit number one. The empty tomb proves that God can accomplish the impossible. That's right. There's nothing impossible with God. I want you to notice with me in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath, that was Saturday, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. Now, that was very normal in the burial custom of the day. And look at verse 2. And very early on the first day of the week, that is Sunday, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Now, imagine what these women were feeling. They were the last to be at the foot of the cross, now the first to be at the tomb. They're going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. Can you imagine what they were sensing, what they were feeling after all they had experienced seeing Jesus die by crucifixion, death by suffocation, asphyxiation? And look at verse 3. Here's what was on their mind. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Their question that was perplexing them was, "Who will roll the stone away?" For them, the obstacle to ministering to Jesus' body was the stone that had been rolled in place. That was their obstacle. That was their fear. That's what they were anxious about. That's what they were worried about. And look at verse 4. And looking up. Listen, when you're going through a difficult season, it's always good to look up. And the Bible says, looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Here's what I want you to notice. God's activity alleviated their anxiety. As they joined God in his activity, God's activity alleviated their anxiety. What they considered an obstacle, God used as an opportunity. And I want you to know what we're walking through right now with this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. It is an obstacle to our normal rhythm of life. But what we see as an obstacle, God will use as an opportunity for our good and for his glory. God's not going to waste this season that we're navigating. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. This obstacle in our lives is really an opportunity for God to reveal his glory. Now look with me at verse number 5. And entering the tomb, that took courage, didn't it? They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. They were terrified. And notice, he said to them in verse 6, do not be alarmed. Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. Now I want you to say that with me right where you are. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. That's the moment. That is the Easter Sunday moment that transforms all other moments in life. This is the greatest event in history. This is the moment that changes everything. God raised Jesus from the dead. The tomb is empty. And that is the miracle above all miracles. God raised Jesus from the dead. The tomb is empty. He has risen. He is not here. The greatest event in history. It's a miracle. The miracle of the resurrection. The resurrection. When you look at the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were being delivered out of Egyptian bondage and crossed the Red Sea and entered the wilderness, how God provided for them manna from heaven. Frosted flakes in the morning, manna, and quail in the evening. Their clothes did not wear out. Their sandals did not wear out. God provided water from a rock. What seemed to be impossible, God made possible. Because we serve a miracle-working God. This is who God is. It's the heart of God. It's the activity of God. And in the Old Testament, there's a story where God made an axe head float. An axe head that does not float, God made the axe head float. God is a God of miracles. Whenever you study Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, and they did not consume him. They did not chew him up. In fact, Daniel was reading a book, and he was reading between the lions. Why? Because God delivered him. God shut the mouths of the lions. When you study about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they would not bow to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had erected and wanted them to worship him, and they would not. So Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace, had them thrown in. And the two soldiers who threw them in were immediately killed because of the fire. And then the king was looking through and saw in the fire Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and a fourth man in the fire. Guess who the fourth man was? Jesus in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they pulled him out of the fire and they noticed that not a hair on their head had been singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because God rescued them. But I love their faith. They told the king, our God would deliver us, but if not, we will not bow. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't budge. And because of God, they did not burn. God is a God of miracles. There's nothing impossible with God. When you study the life of Jesus, he calls the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the mute to speak, the lame to walk again, and the dead to rise. The miracle worker. There's nothing impossible with God. Now I want to know about you. What are you facing right now that for you is an impossible situation? What kind of circumstance are you in now that you're saying there's no way? I want to say to you, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. We serve an on-time God. Now, sometimes God will wait to the fourth quarter with a few seconds left on the clock, and you're thinking there's no way. And right at the moment of your greatest need, God comes through. God will make a way even when there seems to be no way. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. And the empty tomb is evidence that nothing is impossible with our awesome, mighty God. Their question was, who will roll the stone away? And God's activity included removing the obstacle, the stone, and removing the opponents. The guards were like dead men, another gospel writer said. God had already been providing the way for them to go experience the empty tomb. And I want you to know on this Easter Sunday, God is orchestrating and navigating the circumstances and the people around you to accomplish his purposes and his plan in you, through you, and for you. The question is, will you trust him? I love in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, we just marched through the entire book of Philippians, where Paul is writing to the church that he loved so much, the church at Philippi. He's 850 miles away. He's under house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier. And Paul says these strong words in Philippians 1, 12 through 13. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. In other words, what I'm going through has actually served to advance the gospel. You see, in that difficult circumstance, God gave Paul access to people that outside of that circumstance, he would have never had access to. And he seized the moment by sharing his faith with everyone he came into contact with. And he led the whole imperial guard to faith in Jesus Christ. What will you do in the midst of your circumstances to make Jesus known? There's nothing impossible with God. Let's look at exhibit number 2. If you'll write this down, here it is. The empty tomb proves that God does not speak empty words. In other words, God keeps his word. When you think about promise keepers, God is the ultimate promise keeper. God keeps his word. And the empty tomb proves that God does not speak empty words. Look at verse 7 of Mark chapter 16. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. I love those two words, just as. Those are words of consistency. Just as he told you. We learned that in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus had already predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. In Mark chapter 9, verse 31, he said it again so the disciples could hear it again about his death, burial, and resurrection. And then in Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, he says it yet a third time, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. God keeps his word. And when God says it, that settles it. When I was growing up, around age 7, my mother and dad divorced because of my dad's alcoholism. And so my dad would be in my life, out of my life, in my life, out of my life. And it was just kind of a roller coaster ride. And I was involved in sports and playing football and baseball and basketball. And I remember when I would see my dad occasionally, he'd say, well, I'll come to your game. I'll be there. And the game would start and I would look up in the stands and he wouldn't be there. And I would keep playing. I'd keep looking in the stands. He wouldn't be there. And I would play the whole game and I kept looking up in the stands to see if he'd be there. And he wasn't there. And what you'll learn in life is that people will let you down. That's part of life. That people can be fickle, but God is faithful. And you can trust God. You can trust God in His Word. You can trust God with everything He speaks. You can trust God with everything He does. And even as a song says, when you can't trace His hand, you can trust His heart. My daughter's favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. We're reminded in Philippians 1:6, and he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We learn in Philippians 2:12-13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You can trust God's word. Here's exhibit number 3. The empty tomb proves that God gives room for the discovery of truth. Now that's a very gracious concept about God's heart. That God is so gracious with us that God gives us room to discover truth. Look at verse 7 again in Mark 16. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. I'm so thankful that Peter was included. Go tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, Mark ends it abruptly there, but we go over to Luke chapter 24, verse 9 to hear the rest of the story here. And then notice, and returning from the tomb, the women told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and all the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed idle, like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now think about that. The women came back and gave eyewitness testimony to the empty tomb, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the apostles didn't believe the resurrection report. Now, what is it about our humanity? What is it about our human condition where our natural proclivity is to doubt? Instead of trusting God, why is it that we would doubt Him? The creator of the universe, the one who created, the one who knows us and loves us, who's for us, why would we ever doubt God? But yet when our circumstances become difficult or we begin to enter a season of adversity instead of trusting God, so often we listen to our thoughts and we try to elevate our feelings and we let our feelings inform our faith and we start doubting God. Why do we allow that to be our default mode, to doubt God rather than trust? We look at chapter 24 of Luke verse 12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping in and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. So here Peter, when he received the news from the women, he first doubted, he disbelieved, but then he went into action and he went to see for himself. And he ran to the tomb and he looked in and he came home marveling. When you study Peter's life, you know that he loved the Lord and he was the one who was willing to step out of the boat and walk on water to go to Jesus and took his eyes off of Jesus, beginning to sink, and said, Lord, save me. Peter is the one who said, Lord, I'd be willing to die with you, but yet Peter's the one who denied Christ when Christ needed him most. And yet, we see the grace of God. Go tell the disciples and Peter, specifically saying to Peter, the Lord will see you in Galilee. We learn that the disciples are gathered in the upper room and Jesus shows up, makes himself known to them, reveals himself to them, and they're in awe. if you can imagine seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ. But Thomas was not with them. And the Bible says that 8 days later, Jesus appeared to them again, and this time Thomas was with them, and Thomas had already told the disciples, I will not believe unless I can place my finger in his nail-scarred hand, unless I can touch his side, I will not believe. And Jesus comes to Thomas and says, place your finger here in my nail-scarred hand. Give me your hand. Place it in my side. And Thomas said, behold, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, why did you disbelieve? You now believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You see how God is so gracious to give us room to explore truth, to discover the empty tomb for ourselves. And I want to say to you on this amazing Easter Sunday morning, the good news is for those who have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, God's given you room. And maybe that's where you are. You've been wondering about this God thing and where is God and what's God all about and what's this good news all about and Easter Sunday all about. And I'm sharing with you the good news of Jesus Christ. That he left the glory of heaven, came to this sin-infested earth, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death to pay your sin debt and my sin debt in full, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again to come to your rescue and to mine. And the good news for those who have not come to faith in Jesus Christ is found in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Jesus has given you room to discover the truth of the empty tomb. And I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to turn from your sin and yourself, and I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus Christ. He's already done all the work on the cross to provide the way for your salvation. He's been raised from the dead to give you the power to live the Christian life. He's done all the work so that you can receive the gift of eternal life. Would you be willing to do that? There's good news for those who have not come to Christ. You can come to Jesus and be saved. But there's also good news for those who know Christ but have drifted from Christ. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, where Jesus is confronting the church at Ephesus with these words, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. In other words, you have forsaken your first love. Come back home. Come back. Remember, repent, and return. And I want to say to you, if you already know the Lord and you've drifted from the Lord at any level, maybe you've drifted from serving in the local church, maybe you've got wounded in your journey through the local church with other believers, maybe you've just gotten disenfranchised or discouraged and just kind of drifted from God, I want you to know you can come back home, that God loves you and God is for you, and God is building this amazing love bridge to you so that you can come back to him and be fully restored and made home. Right here at Champion Force, our Northcline location, if you were out in the atrium, you would notice some big words on the wall. And God gave me those two words one morning about 2:20 a.m. God woke me up. I went into my study, felt very inspired, and I began to write this down, this vision of what God was calling us to do to reach the people in the shadow of each of our steeples. And not to forget those who know the Lord but who have been disconnected. And the two words are these: welcome home. You can see them now on all of our campuses. Because we want you to know if you've drifted from God, you can come back to him. Welcome home. Now I want you to write this down. The empty tomb is God's ultimate evidence of faithfulness to me and to you. The empty tomb is God's ultimate evidence of faithfulness. And you can anchor your life to him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God loves you. God is for you. God created you. He designed you. You're made by God, and you're made for God. And I'm inviting you, if you don't know the Lord, I'm inviting you to come to Jesus. I'm inviting you to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. And here's the wonderful news. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm going to invite you to text your name to the number on the screen. And one of our ministers will contact with you and share with you how you can come to faith in Christ. And they will lead you in a prayer over the phone so that you can decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. I'm going to encourage you, just text your name to the number on the screen so that you can become a follower of Jesus Christ and be saved. Maybe for you, you already know the Lord and just going through a difficult season of discouragement, of maybe a season of uncertainty that many of us are walking through, and you just need somebody to pray with you, to encourage you. I'm going to invite you also to text your name to the number on the screen. We'll have one of our ministers call you to pray with you, to encourage you in this season. Right here where I'm standing, beneath this beautiful platform, during construction, I was able to come to this location while the construction workers were all over this platform and had a little backhoe working and another track over here working, just digging in the footings for this area, about to pour concrete over all this stage area. And I brought my Bible that was so close to my heart that I've been preaching from for many, many years to this location. And I put that Bible in a Ziploc bag and I knelt down to place it down in the ground in this little square deep in the ground in the dirt where we had just kind of dug it out so that I could place this Bible beneath the foundation of this beautiful worship center. And I remember as I knelt down on my knees to just pray over the Bible as I was laying it down to the ground, the foreman on the job site, he looked around and he put his hand up for everybody to stop what they were doing, to turn all the machinery off. And everything got quiet. And every man on this platform in their construction gear simply put their hand over their heart as I knelt down to place the Bible beneath this foundation. And every Sunday, standing on the Word of God to preach the treasure of God's Word. God is so good to us. You can anchor your life to Him. He is the rock, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust God, and you can trust in His Word. If you don't know the Lord, I invite you to come to Jesus. And if you know Him but have drifted, I'm inviting you to come back home. Welcome home. The tomb is empty, so your life doesn't have to be. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this treasured moment as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. God, we believe and we trust in you. And Lord, we know that you're going to help us get through what we're going through because you're still on your throne. You are God. And we're reminded, where Satan puts a period, that you, God, put a comma, because there's more, and you always have the final say. And we rest in you and trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.